All right, man. Random thought. How are you or some of your friends managing the COVID blues, right? You figure since COVID happened and just devastated a whole lot of the world. I remember the first kind of shutdown, lockdown we did in March. And that was different because you didn't really know what to do. You're glued to the news every day to hear, you know, the updates. And like every day it's panic. And you can't really go anywhere. Everything closed down. And a lot of people thought, well, you know, by August we should be good. And now the reality, I think, is setting in for a lot of people that maybe August 2021, some of us will be good.
Right.
You know, we're not going to be 100%. It's not going to be back to normal. But how are you and some of the people you know are dealing with the COVID blues? Like how are you not letting yourself just get depressed, you know, just all the different crazy shit that can go through your head when you're stuck at home?
You know, it's funny because I didn't really think much about this in the beginning of it because I'm a loner by nature, right? I grew up as an only child for 12 and a half years. I have absolutely no problem sitting in the house doing absolutely nothing. I can always find something to do. I can always entertain myself. Take your mind out the gutter. I didn't realize how much it was affecting people till I think, you know, as Clubhouse came around and I was realizing, why are people on Clubhouse all goddamn day? And you realize people are realizing that they actually crave human interaction and even just a simple conversation. Because when's the last time you've seen people on their phone? And when I say on the phone, not with the phone in their hand, tapping on some app or doing something or the other, but actually talking on the phone. Think about social media. Social media is not about talking. It's about posting pictures, writing a post, commenting back, but that's it. Then you get Clubhouse, which is basically old school phone party line, except with a lot more people. And yeah, it's got a lot of great networking with it, but also there are you having these conversations. And I didn't realize it until just recently. It's funny you bring this up because last week it was right before Christmas, someone said Home Alone for Christmas. Anyone else Home Alone? I'm like, I didn't realize how crazy this Christmas would be for everyone else. Because again, I've got my wife, I've got my daughter. I'm family's right here.
Yeah.
The extended family is not right here, but at the same time, I don't feel that. So
yeah,
it's one of those things that I think I talked to my team about early on in the very first part of the pandemic, which was do something productive. Now is the time, right? And again, funny, you should bring this up today because new sign back here, do or do not, there is no try, by the great philosopher Yoda.
Yeah.
Which was, those who survive this time are the ones who are going to thrive when it's all said and done. And that meant whatever it is you want to do, something that you've been trying to do, you've got all this extra time on your hand. Now is the time to Nike. Just do it. Hence, Regular Guys Random Thoughts Podcast.
Exactly. I mean, that's something that we do. And this has helped me. And I agree. I think so many people were used to just the basic posts on social platforms, but not actually engaging with people. And so I got to my low point, I think probably April. Like I was going to quit my job. I was just like, man, screw this shit, you know, and it was dumb. Right. Yeah. I talked myself out of it. But I just felt like I was going crazy because you're by yourself. So not everybody has their family with them. They're roughing it by themselves. They didn't go home for the holidays.
Right.
So something I started doing is actually picking up the phone and calling people instead of waiting to get on a Zoom call. And it's so funny because some people, they answer like, hello, Carol. I'm like, hey, what's up? How's it going? You know, I start talking.
Is something wrong?
Yeah. They're like, why are you calling me? But what I like about it is if you do the group Zoom calls, that's great. And that's fun too.
Yeah.
But you got to sit in front of your device or your computer.
Right.
I can put my AirPods in and get on the phone. I can fold clothes. I can just do other things. So it's great because I'm still being productive doing something, not just sitting, you know, in front of, you know, the camera.
Right.
And then plus not everybody is camera ready sometimes, especially if you just call them out the blue.
Sometimes but, I don't want to see your ugly face is what you say.
but I do think people have to find some things to do to fight the COVID blues because we're not out yet, right? We still got a good ways to go.
Yeah.
You're starting to see a lot more cities and states put more restrictions on after the holidays. You're still seeing idiots out there all getting together. It shocked me over this past week before Christmas how packed the outlet mall parking lots and all that stuff was. I'm like, Jesus, you know, order it online. Like, why do you all need to go to those places? Like, I totally get going to a restaurant, sit on the patio, have a dinner, and feel a little bit normal for an hour. Mm-hmm. Makes sense. I have no desire to go shopping and go hit malls and all that type of stuff. But I think people have to find something to do to keep them from going crazy. I mean, human contact, human interaction is important. So, you know, pick up the phone, call somebody if that helps. And if you're struggling with it, talk to somebody, get some help. I mean, there are people out there who probably need to talk to somebody and get some help rather than just try to deal with it on your own.
Yeah. And matter of fact, you know what we'll do? Let's do this for somebody too. If you're not already on Clubhouse, I've got a couple invites just because I've gotten some more people in. I got some new invites. So comment, you know, or do a review on if you're listening on the podcast or if you're on YouTube, go ahead and comment below and we'll pick somebody and give them that invite to Clubhouse.
Yeah.
You know, it's a great place that, I mean, there's a lot of bullshit on there too, but there's just like in any
like
other
everything else. Yeah. Like anything else there is, but sometimes it's just great to just hear, listen and talk to strangers. I'll sit on that thing sometimes if I can't sleep. Mm-hmm. It's 10 o'clock at night and I just will just pop in and hop into a room to hear what they're talking about. And there could be 200 people in there.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're not actually on the stage. They can't hear you. You can just sit and listen. And sometimes it makes you feel like you're not by yourself.
Right.
That, like, you know, there's other people talking. You're just kind of sitting there chatting. That's better than just sitting there staring at Netflix, constantly thinking about how this sucks.
You know, and also if you're sitting there listening and you happen to be in one of those rooms, and I just call it those rooms, and you go, I hear stupid people. It'll make you feel a whole lot better.
It does, because some people are just like, what did you just, this is hilarious. Especially when they all start going in on somebody and talking trash. Like, that's even funny to me, too. But again, it's something to get you out of the COVID blues. So I think you got to do what you got to do. Clubhouse, pick up the phone, do something.
Exactly. Just that's just it. Do something.
Do something. Just do it.
Hey, welcome to the show. I'm Yanni Root.
I'm just Terrell. You ever been out somewhere and just overheard two people having some crazy conversations?
Yeah, kind of like this one right here. Well, that's us, and we've been having those crazy conversations since college.
Yes, it's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts Podcast.
Indeed, and you know, it's Christmas last week, and of course, a lot of people smile when they open presents. For me, I think the biggest thing to make me smile as we get into what made you smile here this week is... You can see my shirt here, and you see it says, and for those who's listening, it says, I'm mom's favorite. Now, I got this shirt from my mom, obviously, about a week and a half ago, right? And then I'm on the phone with my brother, my sister, my youngest brother, my sister, and we're on a video call, so I show them the shirt. Hey, look what I got. I'm mom's favorite, right? and this comes from an old school... Christmas prank that was played on us a while back. So Christmas time, we're sitting around and I am handing out the gifts. As the eldest, I'm handing out gifts, just passing out. All right, here, you get this one. All right, here, you get this one. And then we open it, see what's in there. Well, there was this one present I saw the entire time that just had to Yanni, Lawrence, Robin, and Josh. And I'm like, okay, well, we're going to save that one for last because it's from mom, right? So let's save that one to last. So all the gifts are given out. Get to this last one. And the gift is wrapped, and on the outside it says, to Yanni, Lawrence, Robin, and Josh, you know I've loved you all equally, but that hasn't been working out too well for me. So I'm upping the ante. May the race to favorite child begin. Love, Mom. And I'm like, holy crap, what's in this? Open it up. It's 4 pregnancy tests. And she's just sitting there laughing, right? And then finally, I just look at it and go, wait a minute, how did you, you're always grammatically correct. How did you make this mistake? All of a sudden, my youngest brother jumps up and goes, oops, I forgot that. What's an extra O in there? I'm like, how did I not realize it wasn't even her handwriting? I've known her the longest. I've seen her handwriting the most. How did I not know it was not her handwriting? My brother played the perfect Christmas prank on us. And this is what? It's been about maybe 6-8 years now. And of course, this year, my mom gets her first grandchild. So, you know, of course, I see the shirt and I'm like, I'm mom's favorite. Of course, she's fine. She's sent it out. So we do our Zoom Christmas call. And since two of them are halfway around the world, we did it Christmas Eve because it was Christmas Day there.
Yep.
Well, they were taking their time jumping on the call to the point that my mom's like, do you want to just send the invite? And I'm like, let's wait, let's wait. And then all of a sudden they get on there and everybody's got on an I'm mom's favorite shirt. I'm like, you mother. And I couldn't help but laugh because, of course, my mom is not going to pick favorites.
So your mom sent everybody the same shirt.
Yeah. Well, here's the difference. One thing we noticed near the end of the call was, wait a minute. My shirt has different font than theirs. Like theirs is Comic Sans and mine is whatever script this is. And I go, you see, that's what it is. I am mom's favorite because mine is different than everybody else's. And then she had to bust my bubble and go, well, you know, it might be the size. I'm like, okay, so the fat kid gets the different shirt. So it doesn't say, I am mom's favorite.
That's hilarious. That's a good prank. that's good. Because I truly believe every parent has a favorite. I just think they do.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just how it is.
I'll be honest. I know it's not me.
My Christmas, like many people's, my family, we didn't get together because I have a brother in Houston. My parents are in San Antonio, and I'm here in New Braunfels. And so we did a Zoom call, and that was fine. Totally different. So two things that came out of that. One, it felt nice to not have to do all the ripping and running that you normally would do for Christmas, right? I mean, you got to go to this person's house, you go to this person's house, you know, pick up the phone, go through the Rolodex, call people, but you don't have to do any of that. So it was great. I was just on my couch watching football. It just felt good. But the thing that I got to thinking about that whole time was just humility. Right. And I started thinking about how I was lucky enough to be on a Zoom call with my family. But excuse me, there are a lot of people due to COVID, due to racial injustice, that weren't able to do that. Right. And so I just went down this rabbit hole of just thoughts. And then I started thinking about, you know, this a lot of people are out of work, lost jobs and things like that. And here I am in the middle of all this. And I'm like, okay, I'm about to buy a house. I'm looking online at furniture and stuff I want to buy. Just all these positive things that are happening. But I still kept thinking about some of those folks. And it made me feel like in that moment that I'm still humble. Because sometimes I think, depending on what happens in your life, like I remember what it's like to be super broke, like dead broke, right? Like writing hot checks to yourself just to get gas in your car, broke, right? And I think sometimes when you've overcome, it's easy to forget what it was like to be back there. And I haven't forgot about it. I always still keep that in my mind. And as a recruiter, I remember what it's like looking for jobs. And so I always think about that as I interact with job seekers. And it made me think about these stimulus checks, right? I know this is kind of going into politics as usual, but make me think about these stimulus checks, right? The $600.
Yeah.
And I'm like, how many of these politicians that are in the room trying to make these decisions were ever broke,
right?
We're ever broke, dirt poor, out of work. And then how many of them never have? So if you never grew up poor or never grew up to, you know, had a situation in your life where you had zero, where you had to eat ramen, this is all I got. If you never had that, it might be easier for you to say, you know, $600 would be great for somebody.
Yeah.
And I'm like, $600 isn't gonna do shit, you know, for anybody. And I'm like, who thinks this is a good idea? And how do these people in this room get together and be like, 600 is good? And they think that. I'm like, you guys have forgot what it's like to be a true citizen, a regular citizen that doesn't have all these lobbyists and all this extra campaign funds that you can use. You forget what it's like to be broke. And I think those people in that room making that decision, shame on them.
That's because they've never had to rob Peter to pay Paul, right? They've never been caught in the cycle of, what's it, the payday loans. I mean, that is the toughest thing when you get caught in that cycle of the payday loans, because you write them a check for $325, you get $250. And then next paycheck, you got to do it again because you're already behind the eight ball. And once you get caught in that cycle, it's hard to break out of it. And I've been in that cycle before, like you said. We've all struggled. And a lot, like you said, a lot of them probably haven't. And even those who have, at the end of what they're looking at, and you got to understand, a politician's job is not really to do what we want them to do or what's beneficial to us. It's to get reelected.
Yep.
I mean, if you really listen to a lot of the things they talk about, what do? Fundraising. How much money can you raise? That's how you get on this committee and this committee and get this and get this, because how much money can you raise? It's all about the dollar. And at the end of the day, what they're looking at is not the $600. It's like the what was that book I read? John Grisham, King of Torts. When you think of tort lawyers and what they do, and they get this $30 million settlement, right? It sounds like a lot, but then it breaks out into thirds, and that's what they look at, the big lump sum, because the lump sum looks like a lot. It's $900 billion,
right?
Which breaks out to $600. That's the same thing with one of those class action lawsuits. Everybody, it's a $30 million settlement or $300 million settlement, right? It sounds like a lot. You're like, oh my god, that's a lot.
Here's your check for $13.95.
Exactly. Yet the lawyer walks off with $100 million because he gets a third of it. A third goes to expenses. A third goes to the lawyer, and a third goes to the 400 million people that you were in there with. Hence, the stimulus checks.
I don't know, man. It's just it's a shitty thing when there's so many people out there in need, and you have these people with all this money and power trying to dangle a $600 carrot in front of folks.
Yeah,
I just think it's a crying shame when you look at what other countries have done for their citizens, and here we are. Yep. We're supposed to be, you know, star spangled awesome, but yet, what are we doing?
Well, one of the things we are doing, and this could probably take us right into this bullshit, is we're also bailing out those that don't pay taxes. And by those that are not paying taxes, I'm not talking about the nonprofit organizations. I'm talking about the churches.
Yes, dude, that just pissed me off when I saw that. $7.3 billion in PPP went to churches that do not pay taxes. And a lot of the, and some of these mega churches, right? And a lot of these churches were saying, well, they have staff, and it helped cover, you know, salaries for staff as well as benefits and all that. I call bullshit, because if the churches want to pay taxes, do that. And then we should bail you out. I am passionately against our government giving churches money of any kind when churches don't give it back.
First things first, you said how much?
7.3 billion.
We should have started a church and not a podcast. I'm just saying. First things first, we obviously did this very wrong.
Yeah. Well, I don't believe in magic, so I can't start a church. But well, and some of these mega church pastors, they don't take a salary from the church, you know. And so Joel Osteen, you know, his publicist was talking about that, and I get it that they don't take a salary for the church. But you could also go some months without taking in tithes and offerings. Mm-hmm. You could, you know, tell people, hey guys, money's tight. A lot of y'all lost your jobs. Don't donate yet. Hold on to it. The church, we're good. We can go for a good 8 or 9 months without $1 coming in. Focus on your families. You know, do that. Now, I get the church has staff, but again, and I'm sympathetic to that. But if churches want help from the government, they should have to pay taxes to the government. One of my fraternity buds is a pastor, and this is probably back when the pandemic first started, when first of the lockdown. And the complaint was like, liquor stores are still open and they're considered essential, but we can't have service. And I had asked him, I said, hey, this is just a really true question. Do you think if churches pay taxes, the government would allow y'all to be open? And he was like, yeah, honestly, I think that probably would happen. And I'm like, true. Right. But the government gets no money from them, so they weren't worried about keeping them open, but they did keep liquor stores open. But if churches want to pay taxes, then by all means, we can help bail you out. But I am just passionately against our government giving any church any of our tax dollars to help them. Yeah. I don't believe that's what your parishioners are for. Let them help keep you open. And I need to do some digging, because the one church that I want to find out if they got any PPP money is the Church of Scientology. I want to find out if they got any money, because I'm like, hold up, Tom Cruise, damn it. You loaded. You could easily float that church if they need me. And all those people put in large amounts of money into that. So I want to keep digging into this story to see if any of the churches of Scientology received PPP loans.
See, now I'm with you on the big churches. The smaller churches, I say yes, they still need help because those smaller churches are still the ones that are helping those who are close to the ground, those that are more so in need. And because the congregation is smaller, these mega churches, they're not doing that. So I agree with you on the mega churches part of it. And that's where I would draw that line a little further in that sand than that. Because, you know, I do think what it has done for other people, because, you know, if you're really about getting the word out, you found a way to get the word out, even if you can't congregate, whether it was parking lot services, whether it was going online, streaming it online, because I've seen that with different pastors in smaller churches who have done that. And that's because it's not, and it's not about, oh, give me your money. No, I got to get this word out.
Well, but, you know, let's look at some of these churches, right? Even some of the small churches, you still got pastors that riding around in a very nice Cadillac Mercedes that the church bought. They have $1,000 suits on and all that kind of stuff. What was the, I forget that one pastor that.
Creflo Dollar.
He was on, you can see his hearing on YouTube where they're questioning all the money he was spending. And I'm like, some of these churches have money. They've just pissed it away because they want to take care of the shepherd and let the shepherd riding around in a brand new Mercedes. I don't mind a church buying a pastor a car, but you can get him a brand new Accord and he'll be just fine. He doesn't have to have a Mercedes. You don't have to have stretch limos and all that stuff. And they'll say, well, this is for our guests and for our mission work and all that stuff. I'm like, bullshit. Y'all have money. You know, sell some of those cars. And then put that into your church, pay your people, but don't come to the government asking for money when you refuse to give a dollar to the government in taxes.
I will say this, though. When I had my Mustang and couldn't keep it with a Cadillac, I will say that sometimes you do need a Cadillac because, you know, as a shepherd, you are herding sheep. And those sheep can get away if you don't.
That was a good try. That was a good try. That was a good try. I like it. I like it. I'm sorry. I just think if you're going to be in that line of work, then I think it's just laughable that you could be a pastor of a church and have people in your congregation struggling, and yet you're living in this giant mansion and you're wearing $2,000 suits and all that type of stuff to deliver the word. I just look at that and say, okay, that's just crazy to me. And if people want to keep giving their money to those folks, that's your choice. That's your right to do that. All I'm saying is when we have a situation like we're in right now where the churches haven't been getting their donations, and then you ask the government to bail you out and they give you the money. And even though it's a loan they're supposed to pay back, which I still question, will they? Because a lot of people, it's not just churches, a lot of people got loans that I don't agree with that didn't need the money. But the difference is most of those businesses, most of those people, they pay taxes. Churches don't. And so to me, if you don't pay taxes, you don't give to the government, you don't get a chance to take from the government. I just think it's wrong. $7.3 billion could help a lot more people than these mega churches.
Yes, that could have been another $600.
Yeah, could have been. Mm-hmm. But I just find it just ridiculous. It pissed me off when I first saw it. I'm like, you got to be shitting me. You got to be shitting. Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't attend a church and I don't knock people who do. You do that, but if you're not outraged that there are hungry people that are in your church that don't have jobs and that church took in millions of dollars and what are they doing with it? You know, how are they helping the people that don't have jobs, that don't have food? Now, if they're using that money to feed them and all that, and some of them could be. I mean, every church that took money isn't bad. But my thing is, period, if you're a church and you don't pay taxes purposely, because you're a church and a religious organization, then you shouldn't ask the government for help.
You know, while that pissed you off, something that really pissed me off the other day was a story that popped up right down the street from me in Cleveland in Columbus, Ohio. And it's the story of this guy in the garage. And there was a report called, and if I remember it's correctly, correct me if I'm saying this wrong, but the cops were called because they saw this guy turning the car on and off, the ignition on and off in the garage, right?
Which means it was a noise complaint. They got a noise complaint at like 1:30 in the morning, non-threatening noise complaint, but a person was turning the car on and off in their garage.
Cops come, guy shows up, the guy comes out, turns around with his hands up, cell phone in his hand. And 10 seconds in, the cop shoots him. And that's just that. 10 seconds in. I still can't get past that. Hands up, so it's not in a threatening way. Oh, he's got something in his hand. His hands are up. Even if it was a gun, his hands are up. He can't shoot you that way. You've got on a vest. He obviously doesn't, right?
Yeah.
And you can't say, oh, you can't tell because cops can tell when you're wearing a vest and when you're not, right? They're trained to see that kind of stuff. And the thing about this is for me, that really hits home is I had situations like this where someone's just like, hey, you know, oh, do you live here? You know, where does that actually stop? It's in his garage.
Yeah.
When does this stop? At what point? When people say, I need to see more of the video, what happened before? There's no what happened before. I've seen the video of, and this video also pissed me off for a number of reasons. A video of these two cops getting shot on a roadside stop, right?
Yeah.
And it's, when the video picks up, you see the cop on the passenger side, one on the driver's side, and the cop on the passenger side is his video that you're seeing a lot of, and he's going, you know, you need to step out of the car. You need to step out of the car. Why? I didn't do anything wrong. I didn't do anything wrong. You're driving a car without a license. But that's not wrong. It's my car. And he's like, you need to get out of the car. He's got his taser in his hand and goes, I'm going to count to three and I'm going to tase you. One, two, do you want me to tase you? Three, get out of the goddamn car before I tase you. And this goes on for 4 or 5 minutes.
Yep.
Till finally, both cops are on the driver's side. They grab this guy. They drag him out of the car, physically dragging him out of the car. He's fighting, dragging, kicking and screaming, going back into the car. And then when they finally pull him completely out of the car, he grabs one of the cops' guns because it's still in his holster, grabs it, pops both of them, takes off. One of those cops dies. I'm pissed at that for a couple of reasons. One, those guys are doing their job, right?
Right.
I'm not mad at them doing their job. What I'm mad at is the fact that they gave this man 7 minutes and never once fired a shot on him.
Mm-hmm.
This young white man, they gave him 7 minutes of instructions of when people say, all you have to do is listen. Well, he didn't listen. He didn't get shot. He was in his car, hands not on the steering wheel, just all over the place, so he could have had a gun in there. They did not think once about shooting him.
Right.
And this man ended up killing one of them and wounding the other, and then taking off.
Yeah.
Killing them with their own gun. Killing him with his own gun. Now,
yeah.
10 seconds? You give this man 7 minutes, who is obviously doing something illegal, and you give somebody else in their own house 10 seconds?
Yeah.
The fuck? There's nothing you can tell me and go, oh, well, we need to see more. Oh, he should have complied. He did.
He didn't have time. I mean, literally, when you see him come out of the garage, and you see him with the phone, it's the instant, boom, he's shot. And then they don't render aid. And then he starts yelling for him to roll over. He's gone. He's not moving. But that part pissed me off. But the thing that pisses me off even more, and the person we're talking about is Andre Morris Hill, 47 years old, that was gunned down by this cop. The chief of police, after seeing the video, says, I don't really need to see anything else. He's putting in a petition to get this guy fired. And I'm like, why are you not trying to get him arrested?
Yes.
That, I mean, okay, you're trying to get him fired. I hear that. But there's a bigger issue here is this dude needs to be arrested. That was totally wrong of what he did. And the chief of police feels he's passionate that this dude is wrong. But he's only passionate enough that the guy should be fired. He's not saying that we should press charges.
That's not
that bullshit.
Yeah.
That to me is what it's bullshit. And I think, you know, we've talked a lot about this type of stuff, you know, this year, right? With you know, George Floyd and all these other ones. But the thing is, people that yell, you know, I back the blue, it annoys me when I see that. And I'm not saying I don't like cops, not saying that whatsoever. There are some good cops. There are some bad ones, and those need to go. So I can't blindly say I support all of them. That's like saying I support all Catholic priests. I can't say that. Some of them are good. Some of them have some issues, right? But I just can't say I support all of them. And so when I see that we back the blue stuff, I look at these incidents when they come up. I'm like, okay, you back the blue people. Where are y'all at when y'all see this?
Yeah.
What are you saying? What are you standing up saying when you see that? And if you're silent, that tells me a whole lot about you. And I have quite a few friends in my social media groups that are back the blue supporters, but you don't hear them say shit when this type of stuff happens. And when this type of stuff happens to anybody, not just to Black people, it's to anybody, I don't hear the Back the Blue crowd come out, mm-hmm. you know, in full force when these incidents happen.
And the thing about it, you made a great point, is that, yeah, he's saying he needs to be fired. Right now he's on paid administrative leave. And I get it. That's part of what of their process. Yeah. But what else do you need?
Yeah.
I mean, literally, what else? And here's the other part. There's parts of that video that you don't see because the body cam's not on.
Right.
Why can you turn it on and off, right? So what is it that you're trying to hide at any point in there that you have body cam footage off? And after seeing that video, what else do you need? Why does he need to be on administrative leave? He needs to be in jail, awaiting trial, due process. Not fired.
Right.
But awaiting trial.
Right. Agreed. And I'll play devil's advocate on this. All we have is the camera cuts on. Well, it doesn't cut on. What it does, it automatically records like 10 seconds before you cut it on, something like that. Because mm-hmm. if you don't turn it on, at least they can capture something. So it did the job it was supposed to do. So we don't know anything that was said before that. If they heard a voice out of the garage that was saying, "You pigs, get away from my house." Don't know, right? No matter what was said, there was no threat for you to shoot somebody if all you see is a cell phone. You don't even figure it out yet. Mm-hmm. You're at a good distance away. I mean, he was at a good distance away that there was time for all that. So I will say, yeah, maybe there's something else in this we don't know. But the other thing I would say to myself is, if there was, the chief would have interviewed his person, figured out what had happened before he makes this claim publicly that this person needs to be fired.
Yeah.
To me, the chief knows, mm-hmm. like, I need to distance myself from this motherfucker mm-hmm. because shit's about to get real here. So he knows that this dude is wrong. Right. And so to me, if there's another side to that story, awesome. Have your day in court and be able to tell that. But you shouldn't be at home chilling, enjoying your hot chocolate on Christmas mm-hmm. when this dude's dead that you shot within 10 seconds of ascertaining the situation.
And the thing about it, too, even if he had a gun in his hand, and I say this because, you know, the way they teach you to shoot is with both hands on it. He's got one hand. So if that cell phone happened to be a gun, the chances of him even shooting you and actually hitting you are so slim.
Yeah.
Because most people can't shoot and hit the side of a barn, right? I've seen other footage where the cops are chasing this guy who is literally turning around firing shots at them. And what does the cop do who's running with a gun in his hand? He holsters his gun, pulls out the taser, and subdues this guy. So he gets taken in to jail alive.
Yeah.
Right? I don't have to tell you what race he was. I don't have to tell you about the guy whose name I will not say that walked into the Emmanuel AME Church in Charleston, South Carolina, and killed 9 people. And then when they found him, they took him alive. Not only did they take him alive, you didn't see him coming with bruises and all kind of stuff on him. You saw him come in looking good and well fed since he ate at Burger King, you know, because he was going to have it his way. I mean,
yeah.
You want to know why people are mad? You want to know why Black Lives Matter is said?
Yeah.
This is exactly why, because at the end of the day, you're in your garage and somebody just happens to call because they don't recognize you and they call the cops. What happens?
Mm-hmm.
Any interaction, and these cops are now becoming so, and I'm not saying it for all cops, but these cops that are doing this kind of stuff are so trigger happy.
Yeah.
That you really, how careful can you be?
Yeah.
Because if I'm walking out with my hands up saying, because I see a cop, my natural instinct is not going to walk out with my hands up because I'm not doing anything wrong.
Right.
So am I going to die because one of my idiot fucking neighbors calls the cops?
Yeah.
And I'm in my fucking garage?
Yeah. I went to look at my house this weekend, and it's coming along nicely, carpets in and all that stuff. And I'm looking around. I'm like, I'm trying to see if I decide to go for a run one morning, like what route would I take? And then I started thinking, wait a minute, how many other Black people live out here? Because if I go for a run, what could happen? Like, I don't want people, like, they don't know me. They didn't see me move in. I'm in the very back, right? And so now if I'm just kind of jogging through, like, what does that mean? And no one should have to think about that. You should say, hey, I'm moving into a neighborhood or condo and you should be fine. But that was like the first thing came on my head when I thought about, I wonder what route I would take to go for a run around my new neighborhood. And then I was like, well, shit, I need to make sure, like, let everybody know I'm cool.
I smiled because...
And you shouldn't have to.
Exactly. I'm smiling because I had that same thought. I was going for, you know, my runs are probably shorter than yours because, you know, I really hate running. But at the same time, I was like, one of these people can call the cops. And then what happens then? Because you're not running with your ID, your wallet, and all that stuff. You're going, right. You're going for a quick run. You know, come back in. And what happens then? You know,
yep.
So it's that's when people talk about white privilege, it's not just about the opportunities that are there. This is a part of it because this is not something that's in, if you're white, this is not something that's in your mindset of, well, what happens if I go running today? No. But that's in our mindset. It has to be. It's so much a part of every part of our life. And it's sickening.
Yeah.
It's tiring.
Yeah. I mean, I've been going back and forth to my place and, you know, I don't have a key to it yet. It's still in construction. So I'm just still walking in and I'm thinking like, what if my neighbors, like, hopefully they realize like I'm buying a place. I'm not just like walking into a vacant lot and just kind of snooping around.
Right.
But hopefully they've seen me enough that people will know, okay, I think that guy is the one that bought that unit. He's just checking it out. Because I go in and out. So I don't go with the agent. I just drive by, walk in, take some pictures. Walk right on out. But it's just sad that this happened to this man. And to me, I don't really need to see more of that video. There's nothing else I could think of that would cause you to walk up in the driveway. Again, if you watch the video and look at the distance he was from the guy, you know, that was just a quick reaction to shoot at somebody. And I mean, guns don't light up. The cell phone is lit up. Mm-hmm. The light in the garage is out. But you see a black dude and his cell phone's like this, it's lit up, and then he's shot. It just blows my mind. So I feel you on being pissed about that. Rightfully so. I think we had two things that really just got us under our skin and pissed us off. But I think rightfully so, we should be pissed off. And hopefully more people get pissed off about this stuff as well. Indeed. So it'll stop happening.
Indeed. You know, go ahead.
Well, I was thinking like something else that pissed me off a little bit, not as much as what we just talked about, but just a little bit pissed me off. Damn, Wonder Woman 84. Just bullshit. Shout out to J-Rock, to Mike. I mean, having him on the show was very helpful last week because I learned a whole lot about the story of Wonder Woman and Cheetah and all that stuff. So I'm like really excited. The only positive I can say out of that movie is Kristen Wiig did a good job for what she was brought in there to do. I'm used to seeing her being a comedian. She did a good job. But the story was just trash. So much of it was just trash. A lot of it didn't make sense. All of a sudden, Wonder Woman could just turn the jet invisible. Not that she has an invisible jet, just turns it invisible. Spoiler alert.
You're supposed to say that before.
I'm sorry. I just watched that. Because I had my HBO Max set. Because it came on 12 Eastern, so like 11 a.m., I'm sitting there, coffee, couple breakfast tacos, I'm ready to watch Wonder Woman 84. First off, I don't know if you saw this, a lot of streaming errors where it kept like reloading and all that type of stuff. That happened to me like multiple times in trying to watch it, and I saw a lot of people commenting about that. But just the story
that's the bootleg HBO Max you got.
I guess. It's my neighbor's HBO Max. I just use his password. So I can't wait to check out J-Rock the Mic on his podcast and see what he says about this. But it was terrible.
I will say I found myself thinking about this because of the conversations you and I have had about the first Wonder Woman and even the fact that you're like, and why'd she have to have this man come in and help save him? And I thought about it in the storyline, like why she's losing her powers and she sees what's going wrong in the world. Why is he the one that has the right mindset of, no, Diana, you know what you have to do? He should have been the one that wanted to stay because, hey, here's a world I've never seen, and this is way past anything that's in my mindset and what I thought could ever happen. I want to be here. And she goes, no, I would love for you to be here, experience this with me, but the world needs saving. You got to go. And I think that would have been a much better story in that sense, had they done it that way instead of him making the right decision instead of her making that decision. Because she knows she lives for a very long time. No matter who she falls in love with, they're going to fucking die.
Yeah, yeah.
She's going to outlive
them. Well, you know, it's Hollywood, right? So if you have a penis, then you're awesome, right? And so they couldn't just give a woman movie and let it be just that. Let the women have their movie, because they could have did so much more with that. Mm-hmm. So very frustrated. But shout out to my friend Doug, who gave me this little nugget. I didn't even think about it. He was saying, you know, Steve has been gone for almost 80 years. Mm-hmm. And with all the advances in aviation technology, he can just jump in a jet and start flying it.
That's right, because he was flying a prop plane back in the day.
Yes. Yeah. All of a sudden, he can just hop in. Oh, this is cool. I remember this. Oh, this switch is new. You know, no, he can just jump in and start flying. I'm like, that's a very valid point. Almost 80 years of aviation technology, and he still just can just hop in any old jet and just fly it.
Yeah, and that was a pretty advanced jet, too, because it was only a two-seater.
Yep.
And yeah, you're right.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that. So shout out to Doug for dropping that nugget of knowledge on me, because I was just, my mind was blown when he said that. I'm like, son of a bitch, he's right. How did this dude know how to fly a jet?
And how is it that the only time she realizes she has the power to fly is because he told her she could?
Yeah.
Bullshit. Bullshit.
Yeah, yeah. I'm telling you, there's so much more they could have did with that movie. I hope more women are disappointed in it. You know, there were a couple things I thought that were good, you know, but for the most part, all in all, total thumbs down. I feel HBO Max owes me $14.99 because I signed up for that shit just to watch this.
Well, that's the problem. You went into this with high expectations. I've learned not to do that ever since Batman v Superman. I don't go in with high expectations for movies because you're only going to be disappointed. So if you temper your expectations, you're not disappointed. You can still enjoy it. Like, it's okay. I'll watch it again at some point, but, you know, yeah.
And then even explain how Cheetah became Cheetah. It was just all of a sudden.
She wins.
And it's all based on wish. It's just stupid. Yeah. You know, the way that she wins is she gets people to take back the wishes. And, you know, there was somebody who was like, forget that. I'm rich. I ain't taking this wish back. I'm sorry. Y'all can do that if y'all want to. I'm not doing it. Just the whole story was just terrible. So if you haven't seen it, I don't want to say don't, but just go in with super low expectations. And then do that. And then also check out what's J-Rock's podcast, because we got to get people checked out.
I'd love to hear the comic section. Yeah.
The Comic Session podcast. So definitely got to check that out and see what J-Rock says about it. I'm curious. I'm curious what he thinks. And I didn't want to message him on Facebook, but hey man, what'd you say? I'm like, no, I'm just going to wait. Just wait and see what he says on the podcast.
Well, you know, one of the things that he did talk to us about after the podcast last week was another movie that we should check out. Because, you know, Superman is number one on my list. He's my favorite superhero ever since I was a kid. And he told us to check out Brightburn. And you were the first out of the two of us to check it out.
Yep. Yeah, it was dope. It was good. It was good because I remember the previews for that. And I thought this is going to be some weird kind of cheesy, scary movie kind of thing. So I was just like, I'm not interested. And then after J-Rock's explanation of it, I'm watching it. And I'm like, what if Superman would have just grown up and said, you know what? Forget this. I'm gonna run the world.
Yeah.
And just, I mean, it was amazing. It was great. The kid.
Don't give away too much now.
It was great. You got to watch it. You highly recommend you watch it. And again, it's not really a scary movie. There's some cool effects in there, but just imagine a Superman was born and decided to be bad and not be good, and how much damage he could do in the world. That's what this movie is about. And they did a great job of that.
Imagine the Superman story in the 80s, what was that? Money Can't Buy Me Love style. You know, where he's being bullied, you're being bullied, you're like, ah, fuck this.
Yeah, yeah.
I can beat all y'all asses.
Yeah, I'm getting tired of taking this shit. I'm sick and tired of these motherfucking snakes. And this motherfucking but
I'm gonna make snakes to play.
Here's the other funny thought I had about this. I'm like, what's up with these people taking in all these strays? I mean, you and your wife, you have a daughter, alien spaceship lands, and there's a baby in it. Are you just going to be like, hey, well, let's just raise this one of our own? We're not going to call NASA or anybody. We're just going to do it. No, this came from outer space. You never know what you're getting.
You know what I will do? If that happens, I'm going to get one of my nosy neighbors. hey, why don't you go check that out?
Or you call a noise complaint. I want to call a noise complaint on my next door neighbor. Something, they're doing something in their backyard. It's glowing. It's making a lot of noise. There's a loud explosion. And let them deal with it. Yeah, I'm just like, I'm sorry, but baby lands right here and be like, nope. I treat that spaceship like Alien Gonzalez. And like, gets over here and boop, let me just push you back. You need to go in my neighbor's yard. That's his property line. Let him deal with that. I'll even roll it, move it over. Knock on the door and then run.
Yeah. Whole different style movie. Oh, Jesus. That's hilarious. If you haven't checked it out, though, you can. It's you can check it out on Prime, or you can also, if you bought the Star subscription just because you want to watch Power Goes To, or you just have Stars, you can watch it on there too. That's why I checked it out on Stars. Definitely take the time. It's 90 minutes, and it's Elizabeth Banks, so.
Yeah, Elizabeth Banks, dope. She's good. I like her. I'm glad. I'm glad I got a chance to see Brightburn. That was the positive of this week. That was a good palate cleanser from watching freaking Wonder Woman.
and back on the superhero thing, I finally started The Boys. So I'm on episode 2 right now. I like this.
Hooked. I'm telling you, hooked. Again. If anyone else here hasn't watched The Boys, check it out. It is good. It's only 2 seasons right now. It's good, worth it. You'll love it. Yep. I was hooked as soon as A-Train ran through that in the beginning. I'm like, I'm in.
Yeah, I was like, wait a minute, hold on, let me rewind that. I think I blinked.
yeah. I was just like, oh, it's gonna get good. I can't wait to talk to you more about it. Just see how you're progressing along. Mm-hmm. I'm curious to see what you really think, especially once you get through season 2. We're gonna have some good, sidebar conversations about The Boys.
All right, well, definitely. And remember, if you watched Wonder Woman 84, check out the Comic Section podcast. You can just check them out, thecomicsectionnetwork.com. That has all that stuff. Shout out to J-Rock. We got to get him back in when Zack Snyder's Justice League comes back up, because I think, and I'm hoping that this resets the DC universe the way it needs to be. And hopefully once that's done, they go, you know what, Zack Snyder, we need you to redo season 8 of Game of Thrones. We need this reset.
I'm sorry. I'm done with DC. I just, they've not done anything I've liked. The Aquaman, Shazam.
Come on. Man of Steel was the greatest Superman story ever.
Batman versus Superman.
No, Man of Steel, the first Superman movie, that was the best Superman movie ever. Man of Steel.
Okay. Yeah, but they couldn't build on that. They couldn't build on any of that to make it all the rest of them any good. It's just trash. it's just trash. Sorry. Garbage. You ready to toast it up?
Let's do it. What you drinking?
So, remember my birthday, I went out to Fredericksburg and hit some wineries. Yep. Well, I joined a winery called Great Creek Vineyards. And so they have a like a tasting room up north in Georgetown. So I went up there, and if you're a member, you can go in. And so I got a chance to use my membership. So I bought a couple bottles from there. So shout out to Great Creek Vineyard. Good stuff. This one's called Prosperity. It's delicious. It's a good red.
Okay, hold up.
Should I put my pinky out?
You bought a membership to a vineyard. I did. So you paid to be a member, and then you pay to buy more wine?
Nope, I didn't pay to be a member. So I didn't have to pay to be a member. What happens is I get, when their new wines come out at the end of the year, I get a shipment of their wines. And then I can go to the tasting room, and if you were to buy a bottle of wine, my bottle would be cheaper than yours because I'm a member. And then also there's certain parts of the tasting room I can go into as a member where you couldn't. If you brought your smiling face up there, they're going to be like, yeah, you need to sit outside in the patio with the rest of the non-members. So a little perk. It's just kind of nice.
Would this be considered wine privilege?
Bazinga.
Oh, my God. Well, Going off what you drank a couple of weeks ago, you did the Bullet 10. I'm going with the Bow Strength Bullet Bourbon.
That one is that'll sneak up on you.
Yep.
Yeah, out of all the bullets, that one, because I think that one's the strongest or has the highest proof than the other ones.
Yep.
Yeah, that one will get you. Learn that lesson.
Yeah, because this will be 100 and something proof right here, because it's 58% alcohol. So.
Yep.
Yeah, almost 120 proof.
Yeah. Yeah. So what are we toasting to?
Man, look, this is the last show before the new year. So I would say for 2020, I know a lot of people were ready to throw 2020 away. I said a lot of lessons to be learned in 2020. You found out a lot about yourself in 2020. And we still have a couple more months of quarantine. Take this time.
Yep.
Use it wisely. Don't just sit around. Don't mope around. If you're feeling the COVID blues, get some help when needed. But at the same time, work on what's the next step. What is the next step? What is 2021 going to mean for you? And don't just make these empty resolutions. No. What's the next step? And put it into action. I have this conversation with my sister all the time. Just write it down. Look at a 5-year plan. Then come back a year each time and figure it out so you know what the next step is for you. Well, how do you move forward? What is it?
Yeah, I would say that. And even if it's not a 5-year plan, going to 2021, just saying, okay, today, Monday, I'm going to try to be a better person than I was on Sunday. And then you wake up Tuesday, I'm going to try to be a better person than I was on Monday. And I'm going to try to do more for other people, because what's going to get us through this is us all sticking together, supporting, helping each other without asking for anything in return, just doing it because you can. And that's what's going to help a lot of people get through. And you don't know what your next door neighbor is really going through. You have no idea what people are having to deal with in their own personal lives. So look to try to be better. Not only is 2021 will be better for you if you do better for yourself.
Yep.
Don't expect the year or the government or anybody to change it for you. You got to do better for yourself. So here's to ending 2020 and going into 2021 with a better attitude.
And some prosperity in your wine glass.
And some prosperity in my cup.
I'm Yanni Rude.
And I'm Just Terrell.
Make sure you follow us at Yanni Rude, at Just Terrell, and at RGRT Pod.
Yes, send us some of your random thoughts or some of your bullshit, and we'll talk about them on the show.
It's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts Podcast. Cheers.
Cheers.